recording is in progress. Okay, good chodesh.
It's really a Kadosh Baruch Hu want to break us, so to take us to the Torah.
No, that's not the board. No, Hashem sets up situations to test us.
Yeah,
he wants us to, instead of him just giving it to us and we don't have to work for it, he wants us to prove that we really want it. So he makes ke'ilu, once again, the words are not, he makes ke'ilu like he's trying to take away the Torah from you to see whether you're going to fight for it. But he wants you to win. It's like a father teaching a child to walk. Does the father want the child to fall and keep bumping his head? No. So why does he step up and say, come to me? Because he wants him to learn to walk. Why doesn't the father just carry him around all the time? Because the father wants the child to learn how to walk. So he makes it hard for him, and eventually the child learns to walk. The same with us. Akash Baruch Hu, if the Torah was just easy and accessible and all you had to do was just touch it, how would you prove your dedication to the Torah? So Hashem Kiviyachol makes like he's trying to take it away. He makes it difficult. He makes it hard. You keep forgetting it. And then you show your dedication to the Torah. But Hashem wants you to be Matzliach. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu, how do I know that? I'm not making this up. It's a Gemara. Because if Moshe Rabbeinu eventually gets the Torah back from Hashem, what does Hashem say?
Good job.
Well done for breaking the Luchos. In other words, I don't want Luchos Rishon Matzav.
Yeah.
I'd created the world for you to earn it. How are you going to earn it? Does Hashem want the Yetzahara to win? So why do you give me a Yetzahara? So why do you give me a Yetzahara? Because without a Yetzahara, you're nothing. You're a nobody. You're worthless. You're a cockroach. Cockroaches also do the Rotzon Hashem the whole day. Cockroaches are the biggest tzaddikim in the world. They never didn't do the Rotzon Hashem. Cows always do the Rotzon Hashem. How come I don't? Because I have a Yetzahara, because I'm earning it. So every moment I do what I'm supposed to do, that's big. That's the idea.
Yeah.
Have we discussed the actual breaking of the luchos themselves, the relevance of that? Have we discussed that yet?
We spoke on it to a certain extent. Moshe Rabbeinu broke, it's very important to get this. We're trying to go from phase one into phase two. We're trying to go from Alpaim Yamos Torah into Alpaim Yamos Ikvasid Mashiach. What's the difference? The first stage is where the Chosen, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, reveals and displays himself in all his glory. Okay. Phase two is where the lights go off, where there's a hest upon him, and you now have to go earn it. The Kalin has to show the Chosen how much she wants the marriage. Not because there was a very rich Jew, who wasn't married. And they brought him from South Africa. It was a group, it was a Rov, he had a yeshiva in South Africa. So they brought a lot of his balabatim to Eretz Yisrael for a trip. They do things like that, you know, chizuk or whatever. Anyway, his rabbi was Rav Aaron Leib. So he says to Rav Aaron Leib, this guy, he was about 35, whatever, needs a shidduch, needs a brocha for a shidduch. So Rav Aaron Leib said to him, a guy like you, very eligible bachelor, why aren't you married? He said, well, I've got a problem. Every girl I meet, I don't know if she listens carefully. I don't know if she wants to marry me because she likes me or she just wants my money. Okay, so that we can stop there because now we understand. No, one second. You're spoiling my story. So we could stop the story there. And then that's what's happening here. Kosh Boch wants to know, you really want to be my wife? Of course you do, because I'm the richest guy in town. I'm doing 10 makas, kriyas yamsuf. I gave you the Torah. You got to pay some mikdash, all the nisim, which it would say, no, I don't want. So you take all that away. Now let's check. So Rav Aaron Leib turned around to him and said, so give me all your money and go get married. I've got what to do with your money. If your money's stopping you from getting married, give it to me. Without flinching, that's what he said. So give me your money and go get married. So Moshe Rabbeinu understood. He understood that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted us to earn it, to prove ourselves. We can't do that in a flash of glory. The girl that wants to marry me when I'm a billionaire, I first will get rid of all your money, and she still wants to marry you. No, she wants to marry you, not your money. So that's what Hashem is doing. So Moshe Rabbeinu understood that. So Moshe Rabbeinu took us from Luchos Rishon, smashed the Luchos, and took us into Luchos Sheini, which is now you can start earning the Torah. You're not getting it for free. Okay, Beseder, now you're asking myself. Okay, now you're okay. How could he smash them even? Beseder, what? I don't know. They're law. That's not
the act. Don't worry about the actual act. And he had to get us to act.
Going us from Yomos HaTorah to Yomos HaMashiach. It didn't happen exactly there, but that was the lead.
That was something that was necessary.
That's the pattern, the Shoresh of...
But there was other stuff going on which compelled the Israel to get in line. Like, there was going killing everyone, right? So everyone got killed who had any shape.
3,000 people out of 5 million.
They were the ones who had shape of the so how isn't that compulsion? If we wanted to see Hashem,
how could
I give away the money, now do you really want to marry me? So we kill everyone who's involved. Okay.
I don't understand. That happened afterwards. The Chet was finished. Now for the next 2,000 years, you're going to have opportunity to prove yourself. Are you being compelled ongoing. Because of the 3,000 people that got killed at the Chet Eagle? That's bothering you?
Me right now. Okay.
I'm sorry. We're talking about us. Yeah, there's lots of factors here. No one ever said we're going to cover every factor. We're trying to, it's very important that you get this clear. This is the whole foundation of the whole Bria. There's no foundation more choshuv than this. HaKadosh Baruch Hu always gives us phase one. He always shows us what the lechatchila is, but that's never the lechatchila. The lechatchila is always the bedieved. Sorry to twist your brain, but the lechatchila is never lechatchila because the lechatchila leaves you without anything to do. The lechatchila is where the sun and the moon are the same size and the fruit and the tree taste the same and you have luchos rishon and then there's nothing for you to do. So what Hashem create the world for? Just to get you back to where you were with nothing changing? So just don't create the world and leave me with you. No, Hashem wants to give us the reward as an earning, not as a gift. So you have to have the phase where you're proving yourself. So in order to do that, someone's got to switch off the lights. You have to have a Churban Bayis Rishon. Rav Avigdor Miller says this, I'm not going into it now because you can listen to his proof. We didn't go into Golis because somehow we were naughty boys and therefore Hashem destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, went to Golis. We had to go into Golis. Hashem set it up, so that's what happened. But going to Golis was part of the essential part of the Bria. You have to have that.
Pillar is to have the lights on, but we need the lights off to go off to turn them back on again.
That's why the Bidiyevit is always the Lechatchila.
Yes, I'm saying the Bidiyevit of the lights going off and turning back on is the Lechatchila of the light.
That's why the Bidiyevit is always the Lechatchila. The imperfection of this world is its perfection. That's why we're in this world. That's why Boyer and Afoshes v'chesroi non. Hashem created us chosr. Why? He just created us shalom. Then you're back to being a cow or a cockroach or anything else. It doesn't have bechira. You have to have bechira. Without bechira, there's no point in any of this.
What's phase three?
Phase three is when you get back to phase one, but you've earned it.
Through phase two. Through phase two.
Yeah. Phase one is the male phase, phase two is the female phase, and phase three is the baby. There's a child that gets born. What child got born here? Yeah? Exactly what the father coded to the mother in phase one. You'll have the same dveikus and oneness that you had with Hashem before you were created. You'll have it now, but you'll have earned it. It's yours. You made it yours. That's why Chochem Odif Minavi. Because you have to take something called Talmud Bavli, which is Mabulbal, which is broken and shattered, and you have to rebuild it. To do that, you have to rebuild yourself. That's why you have to have a Navi. Navi gets clear communication from Hashem. There's nothing to discuss. Chochem has to go rebuild that himself. There is nowhere in the world where you won't see this happening. That's what's so important to get this cloud clear because it's everywhere. It's everywhere. There's nowhere where it's not. It's how marriage works. It's the whole Balchuva process. It's everywhere. There's nowhere where this functions not function. Okay, let's go back to our story. We were speaking yesterday about this diary. Of this Talmud of Matisyahu, who was hiding out in the bunkers, and we found his diary. So he writes there that he remembered the story from the Inquisitia. How that story came about, I never got it. Every time I want to ask what was real, and I forgot, and now it's too late. How that story was Megala. He'll tell us, but we'll find out how we found out about the Inquisitia story, because that's I know about it because it was in the diary of this guy that found the diary. But how did he know about the story? How did the story get Magala? What is the Chassid? There were no Chassidim in Spain. Chassidish stories are always like that. Some guy was alone in a room and everybody knows what happened. That's every Chassidish story. But there were no Chassidim in the Inquisition. So how did we find out about this guy when he was talking to Hashem in a refugee camp in Morocco? And we know exactly what he said. How do we know that? So either it was a Chassidish or Maisa, which is hard to understand because there were no Chassidim in Spain. Or, okay, the second. Who? The person in Morocco. It's hard to understand that he got up and he told Hashem and this, then he went off and advertised his. Well, maybe he mentioned it. I don't know. I mean, yeah, fine. I don't know. I'm almost sure. It could be that I'm mistaken, but I'm almost sure that the Prophet said this over. Prophet somehow, I think it was this Maisa that the Prophet said over the Levaya. Anyway, that we have to Hashem Yerenenu. It doesn't bother you, it doesn't bother you. I like Pesach Kron stories because then I can rely on them. My stories you can't rely on. I just hear something, I say it over, I don't care if it's true or not. This bothers me because, okay, it's a well known Maisa, it's not my Shuya. Anyway. Don't know. Maybe he's trying to say something about what Hashem just took his son away. This guy was talking about when Hashem had taken his children away. It is a common factor, you know. No, you see that there's something going on here that's similar. Chofetz Chaim was speaking at his son's levi, and this guy was talking after all his children had died. There is some remote similarity. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. I'm saying I need zocher, but it could be that it was another story. I don't know. I need zocher. Anyway, bottom of Pei Gimel. Esamilim alalu zocher yodia tzir ba'ez mistarto ba'bunker. So he was sitting in the bunker deciding whether to commit suicide or whether to suffer horrific sufferings. V'kachu kosev be'yomanoi. This is what he wrote in his diary. Kashen iskati besipuze. When I remembered this story. Katalti bepeta kiragoim elu behemanim mitayen im atzmi heimli kfotz la'esh lekatzes chayolo. These moments that I'm spending busy having a back and forward with myself about whether to jump into the fire and shorten my life or not. Heim haragoim hachashuvim beyoiso. These are the most important moments shehayali pam b'chayim. The most important moments I've ever had in my life. He's writing this. Right now, I have a big milchoma kaviyochel in my Kodesh Baruch Hu. I'm having a big struggle here kaviyochel in Mashem. And I have the power to beat Hashem. In these moments, I've been given the opportunity to prove total love and dedication to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A love that I never merited before, because I never had this matzav before. This is what he wrote. When all hope is lost, and I have no reason or purpose in carrying on to live. I know that everything that I'm going through, that everything you brought upon us, is a test and a test. It's a nisayin and a mifchan. Okay, he wasn't a rishon. I have a problem with using those two lashonos together, nisayin and mifchan. Okay. What's the test? Will I carry on loving you even though you're torturing me? Will I still desire your Torah and your mitzvahs? You're fighting against us and you're fighting against me. Ulam lo shabatoti, but you have not broken me. The fire is going to come and it's going to destroy me. I'm not rushing to jump and to die. These few moments that you've given me, left. Achein yeshlem tachlis. They have a purpose. What's the purpose? Tachlisan lochich lecha. The purpose is to prove to you. So gamim achaim shenatat in yehoyfchim liyos chaim shel yisurat peifus. Even if the life you've given me turns around and becomes yisurim, all terrible yisurim. The Marot calls those. That is the most precious treasure that we have in our hands. And you carry ma'od, they are very precious. Via these yusurim, we can prove that there's nothing you can do to stop me loving you. Go for it. There's nothing you can do to stop me loving you. That's important. You can take our lives. You cannot take away from me the love I have for you. I promise you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, till the last moment, I'm going to fight against you. I'm going to hold on to the love I have for you. Very touch, can't take it away from me. I'll see puze the dome of nitten loyme shiruch hakodesh. Af he omedes umachreses kenegda nitzchayni bani. You beat me, my son. Well done. Okay, so that's a story worthwhile making a copy and keeping it in your pocket. Every time you're having a bad day, kedai to read it. And if you can still talk after that, I'm impressed. What?
I guess he was alive because he has the story. Because they wrote down.
No, they found his diary. This is what he wrote in his diary. Bruce. He got killed and they found his diary. Yeah, I don't know how it's about. The diary was
I'm sure he gave all those disclaimers.
The diary survived. That we know, Oraya Yaridi. Many things survived the Holocaust that shouldn't have. The Derech HaTeva. Klal Yisrael, all the kisva of the Eish Kodesh. You're sitting in Eish Kodesh. Ask the Rebbe how all the kisva Eish Kodesh survived the Holocaust. There are many svarim like that. There's a sefer written by the Marchever Samishkan, going Oilam from 200 years ago. He wrote a sefer on all the dinim of all the gvulot of Eretz Yisrael. You know, it's a big sugya. Where exactly are the gvulot of Eretz Yisrael? They don't push it. He wrote a sefer on this. I can't remember what it's called. Anyway, never had money to publish it. And the manuscript, Stovev. Eventually, it happened to come to a Jew who was living in Europe before the Holocaust. And he was on the train of the Auschwitz. And he had with him the manuscripts of the Sefer. And he, before he got on the train, whatever, I don't know when, but he wrote on the thing that whoever finds this document should take it to somebody and give it to somebody in Eretz Yisrael. And he threw it out the window. He knew that it wasn't. He threw it out the window of the train while they went out to Auschwitz. Somebody found it and they made way to Eretz Yisrael. It was published about 20 years ago. 30 years ago, I can't remember what it's called. Safe and all the by the Machshava Samishkan.
Better question: how did you study the presence of mind to write
this? Good, lovely questions.
Like racing around trying to figure a way out.
Lovely questions. I don't know. You're right. I was nichshol. I should have discussed this with Rubens with a chance. Okay. Maybe his son knows. I have to ask him. I don't know. Don't give me any more monkeys on my back because I'm not going to do anything with it. So. That's not the problem. Yeah. Don't waste your brain power trying to work out the historical. Try to work out what the story has to do with us. Sipurim Eilu ve'od Rabbi Macherim. Stories like this are not unusual, by the way. This is Klal Yisrael. This is the story of Klal Yisrael. It was a Moedek Jew. I mean, I knew him. His kids live in Tifrach. Rav Sina Adler Zatzal. It was a Holocaust survivor. He's going to share him all over, talking about the Holocaust and whatever. Mechazikin. So one, there was one of the, you know, they have these Holocaust days once a year in this country. So he spoke there, whatever, I don't know. So one of the Chilonim, whatever, came up and said to him, can you explain to me to explain to him after what you went through, and you still believe in God, you're still serving Hashem, whatever. What's the matter with you? Crazy? So just then his phone rang. So just 1 second, you answer the phone. Mazel tov, mazel tov. What was that? No, I just got a, there was a second call I got today. I just had another great grandchild. That was the mazel tov. So that was a, so he said, I don't understand what you're asking me. I don't understand your question. He said, what do you mean? After the Holocaust? I said, listen, let me explain something to you. When you walk into a room, and there's a sick person and there's a well person, who do you walk up to and ask questions to? It's the sick person. You go to the sick person, you say, excuse me, what's the matter? Okay, don't go to the well guy and you say, why are you normal? Why are you healthy? This is what you do. He said, why are you asking me? Why still believe in God? The sick people are the ones who saw the Holocaust and denied God. Go ask them why they deny reality. Me? I know there's a Rabbeinu Shalom. The Rabbeinu Shalom is the world, and he does whatever he wants. We don't understand. So he did a Holocaust. But why should I become sick? Because I'm not sick. I'm well. Why are you asking me? You should ask the sick guy why he's sick. Don't ask the healthy guy why he's healthy. What are we going to do with what you just said? Because you thought it out clearly before you said it. And you had a purpose for saying it. Relevant to the safer. Relevant test. No, I'm serious. Always test for relevance.
That's a good question.
Okay. Always test for relevance. No, it's not. See, you guys are missing it completely. All right. I brought that story not because it's a nice story, but because it's exactly what we're talking about here. That's exactly what we're talking about. You don't want to be married to Hashem. The color doesn't want to, so we're not talking to you. We're talking about the person who is Mechuba and wants to be married to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And despite all the nishyonos, she stays dovuk to her husband, for better or for worse. No? You can kiss the bride after they say for better or for worse. That's how it works, no? I don't see it too much at the chasen as we go to, but we all know what I'm talking about. Yeah? Maybe don't, you don't. All right. But this story is not a unique story. Mamshichim uvehirim es utzmes hakesher v'adveike shegiltu magale b'kol dor hakane b'yechoso el achoso. This is a revelation and a clarification of the awesome, awesome power, the relationship, the bond that the kala keeps revealing in relation to the choso. She's the Salmona sitting and waiting for her husband to come home. She's waiting for him to come back. Everyone tells her, what are you waiting for, lady? He's been gone 20 years. You think he's going to come back? He drowned at sea. It's over. What are you waiting for? Every night she goes down to the with a little lantern and a little pack of sandwiches and flask of coffee, and she's waiting for her husband. That's us. Yeah, Mashiach's going to come. Come on. Mashiach's going to come. He didn't come for Rabbi Akiva. He didn't come for David HaMelech. He's going to come for you. He didn't come for the Chofetz Chaim. He didn't come for the Vilna Goy. He's going to come for you. Come on. Give it up. That's us. When everything shows you that it's gone, it's lost, it's finished, there's no reason to carry on, that's when we stop. What's Yitzchak's name? Keitzchai. Yitzchak is Keitzchai. You know where he starts living? After he dies. That's where Yitzchak starts. He lives in death. He goes up to the Akedah. He dies, but that's when he starts living. That's us. That's this kid in the bunker. That's Klal Yisrael through all the generations of Golus. This love, this relationship that exists between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we have no way of grasping it. It's way, way, way transcendent. When a Jew stops and asks himself in a moment of reflection, serious reflection, me ani. The answer is way beyond anything he's ever thought about before. I'm Hashem's spouse. I'm also Bnei B'chayri Yisrael. I'm also Shutif. But for the purposes of this discussion, because we're in the chapter dealing with the relationship as a spouse, LaKadosh Baruch Hu Yesh Kviyachol Dira B'Tachtoinim. Hashem wants to bring His Kedusha El Yoina all the way down into the lowest world. So He has a dwelling place in the lower world. Ubedira Zu Anirios, and in this home that He has down here, I'm His spouse, Ani Kalosin. Tachnis Abriya Kululo Tuchel Etzeit El Apoel Beladai. And the entire purpose of the world, the entire purpose of the universe, is not going to happen without me. That's a choshev I am. Aladam lachshov. Person needs to think. It's quite possible that I don't live day in and day out with this reality. But that doesn't change the truth. Not by 1 millimeter. Because I'm mamash Hashem's color, mamash. Kashe koladom yovin emes noirezu, kanike viochol bnoi yechide shela korosh boruchu, vegam kalosa shela korosh boruchu. When you internalize and you become real with this reality, that you are Hashem's only child and you're His spouse, hugam yovin sheyesh lo tafkid meyuchad ba'olam, it comes with enormous responsibility because you have a very choshev job to do now. Tafkid she'oisel lo yuchol lebatzeh shum nivra acher, that nobody else. Not Moshe Rabbeinu, not the Malachim, not HaKadosh Baruch Hu Himself can fulfill if you don't fulfill it. Have a wonderful Kislev.